Welcome. This is Your Call. I'm Renee Kemp, sitting in for Rose Aguilar. On the last Saturday of April every year, independent bookstores across the country celebrate the communities that they help to foster. And this Saturday, April 29th, is that day. It's Independent Bookstore Day. And there will be author readings and live music, and there will be scavenger hunts for the kids, and hundreds of indie bookstores will be hosting their very own unique events. There will be events in San Francisco, San Jose, Sunnyvale, Oakland. Folio Books in San Francisco, for example, will be hosting a special story and activity hour with the collaborative children's picture book entitled Adventures in Asian Art. And at Hickleby in San Jose, Disney animator Benson Shum, who worked on Moana, will be presenting his picture book, Holly's Day at the Pool. And in Sunnyvale, Captain America will be making an appearance. That will be at Lee's Books. And in Oakland, Diesel Books will be hosting a literary cocktail party with a happy hour with books at 4 o'clock. So that's just some of the events that are going to be happening this weekend. The idea is to connect with the independent bookstore in your community and to get together with other book lovers. So we're going to spend the next hour talking about books and what's going to be happening on Saturday. So let's start with my first guest, Pete Mulvihill. He's the co-owner of Green Apple Books. We know it well. It's an independent bookstore that sells new and used books. It's on Clement Street in San Francisco, and it's been there for 50 years. The store is an official San Francisco legacy business and has a second store in the Inner Sunset. And Pete also helps run San Francisco's local first organization, and he serves on the board of the American Booksellers Association. He's here in studio. Hi, Pete.
Good morning, Renee.
Thanks for being here. Amy Thomas is here as well, and she owns Pegasus Books, and we know Pegasus very well as well. There are three stores in Berkeley, one in Oakland. She's president of the Northern California Independent Booksellers Association and has been a bookseller since 1980. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much, Renee.
And finally, Samantha Shea. She's a writer and editor and program director of Independent Bookstore Day. It's kind of her brainchild. Her travel pieces, personal essays, and her lifestyle articles appear in books and magazines, including Travel and Leisure, San Francisco Magazine, and Sunset. And her fiction has appeared in magazines and books, including 17 Magazine and the Gettysburg Review, among others. And Samantha's here as well. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And this is a married couple, yes?
Yes.
Yes. So thank you both for being here. And we love this show. We love the book show. So there are book lovers, especially in San Francisco and the Bay Area. I have a hunch that we love our independent bookstores, perhaps even more than most. But let's start with you, Samantha. How are sales doing in brick-and-mortar bookstores, independent bookstores?
Well, I think that answer is varied. I was just talking with Amy and Pete this morning, and I know both of their stores are up for the year. And when bookstores are talking about up, they're talking about a couple of percentage points, but we'll take it. And I think bookstores all over the country are the trend is that sales are actually going up for print books, and that independent bookstores are doing better than they have in the last two decades. Yeah, I think the narrative in the 90s and the early 2000s where there was a great bookstore die-off, and that's true. I mean, a lot of our great stores, Clean Well-Lighted Place and others, closed during that time. And then the story just kept being told, like, oh, bookstores are on their way out. Now there's Amazon, now there's digital. And what's happened is that hasn't borne out. And the bookstores that are left are doing well. They're really establishing their place in their communities. They're thriving economically. And more bookstores are opening than closing now, and that's been a trend for years now.
Why do you figure that is?
I think that there's a lot more consciousness about neighborhood and community and what people want where they live. And I think bookstores, more than most retail businesses, provide a sense of community, provide a sense of sanctuary. They tend to provide a social life in a lot of ways. One of the things I like to say is, you know, people go on dates in bookstores, and, you know, they don't go on dates in shoe stores. Like, bookstores have a special place in our hearts and a special place in our neighborhoods. And I think nationally there's a lot more awareness about shopping local, about what we want from our neighborhoods, and about what local businesses provide.
I grew up loving bookstores, the smell of the books and the feel of the place. There's got to be a cat. I mean, you know, there's this whole thing and that warm, fuzzy feeling you get in a bookstore. And I even kind of fostered the idea of having my very own bookstore one day. I pictured it. There's trees and there's a brook outside. I had this whole idea. But I also am a pretty good cook, but I knew better than to open a restaurant, you know?
The hours in bookselling are better.
Oh, exactly. But sometimes people who love to cook shouldn't open a restaurant. I'm sure, Pete, that you loved books, but what made you think that you would plunge into the world of independent bookselling?
Yeah, I stumbled into it. Actually, I moved here, and I thought I'd be in journalism, which was probably a parallel career track. Journalism has faced a lot of the same challenges bookstores have. But I was hired at Green Apple as a temp in 1993, and I thought that I would end up doing something else. And because of the books and because of the people who love books, I never left. Me and two fellow employees gradually bought the store from the original owner, and then we opened this new store a couple years ago. And I went to career counseling 5 or 6 years ago, thinking, all right, I'm turning 40. I got to figure out what I'm really going to do with my life, and it turned out that I loved what I do.
What's the biggest reward, and what has been the biggest challenge of being an indie bookstore owner?
The biggest challenge, I guess, is that you're constantly living in constant fear. You know, I started in 93, and first it was the chain bookstores like Walden that and Crown that did huge discounting. So we had to try to compete with them. And then it was Barnes & Noble and Borders, which could carry every book known to humankind. So they had these huge inventories. And then it was Amazon. And then Amazon started doing used books. And used books are a big part of our business. So, and then it was ebooks. And then it was downloadable audio. And I don't have a single one. It's just sort of living in constant stress of trying to figure out how to keep the ship afloat. The biggest reward, again, is the people. I mean, the only reason we're still open is that a couple hundred people every day walk in and buy something from us, and they choose to do that. Everything we sell is probably cheaper somewhere else, but people choose to be in the world, to get away from their computer, to engage with other people, to discover new ideas. So really it's that community of customers and fellow booksellers.
Amy Thomas, you own Pegasus Books. Again, it's one of those stores that everyone knows and knows well. And I'm just wondering, what's the foot traffic been like, and what are people seeking out on the shelves, let's say in the last, 3 months or so?
Well, foot traffic is pretty good. We have one of the problems of being in crisis in retail in this country, which we are, is that there are quite a lot of vacancies on our street. And a bookstore is like, on one level, like any other bookstore, any other kind of store, it needs a lot of other stores around it so that people will come and, you know, wander around the neighborhood. So we've been sort of struggling with that a little bit. I think people have been coming in to our stores to reassure themselves that there's facts, that there's life, that there's culture, that there's art, that we're on a good team, that we continue to see astonishing books come out in the face of it all, both nonfiction and fiction. And I think they come because they care very deeply that there's a place in their community that's open early to late, and anybody is welcome there, no matter how old they are or what they look like or who they are. They are all equally welcome, and I think that's quite unique.
And why do you think that they get that feeling from a small independent bookstore like Pegasus as opposed to, say, a megastore like Barnes & Noble?
I think my staff have worked with me for many, many years, most of them. It is a place where people know who works there. They know their taste. They know how the buying is done. They know that we will jump to get them a book as fast as we can. They know that they can have good conversation. And I think it's special. It's a special place.
My favorite happens to be Arinda Books in Arinda. And I can always go in and they'll tell me, oh, we know there's a new one out. You're going to like that. And that's not something you get at a Barnes & Noble. So it's that warm, fuzzy feeling that this place is home. It's a home base, so to speak.
I think that's right. Although, to be fair, I think that a lot of people who work at Barnes & Noble stores share the same passions and the same love that we do. And if you're very lucky, you will be helped by one of those people when you go to that store.
Samantha, Independent Bookstore Day is sort of your bailiwick. So what made you decide to come up with this Day of Acknowledgement of Indie Bookstores?
Actually, Pete came up with the idea in, 2013 or so, and based on the success of Record Store Day, which has been going on for about a decade now, and is the same thing for independent record stores, and has been a great sales boon and publicity boon for them. And he looked at that and said, well, we should be doing something like this for books and for bookstores. And took the idea to a bunch of publishers in New York, and they all expressed enthusiasm. He came back here and realized, okay, well, now somebody has to make this happen. And I used to work in the book industry years ago and have been more in publishing and magazines, and I really wanted to get back into books, and I said, I want that job. So I got hired, and we started in California sort of as a testing ground in 2014 just to see if we could make it work and what it entailed, and if stores were going to jump on board, if authors were going to jump on board, and if publishers were going to. And all three of those categories did so really enthusiastically. And bookstores all over the country started to say, we want in. So we went national in 2015. And the mission really is twofold. One is to just have a great party for the book-loving community. We call it the bookish ecosystem. So from, you know, book lovers and readers and booksellers and authors and publishers and just the whole – that whole community that loves books. And it's a party and it's a celebration. And it's also a, sort of a reward for customers of independent bookstores because we have all these exclusive, one-off, amazing – books and literary art pieces for them. And the other part of our mission is to sort of change the narrative, like I was talking about earlier, of the failing independent bookstore and the independent bookstore going the way of the, you know, buggy maker. And to say, hey, we're still here. We're not only still here, we're still vibrant, we're still thriving, we're still, you know, essential. And yeah, so that's what we're doing.
We're going to go through some of the events that are going to be happening this weekend that listeners can check out for themselves. We invite you to give us a call. What are your favorite independent bookstore haunts? And what book recommendations do you have? What's your summer reading list? And what is it that you love about independent bookstores? Are you a bookstore owner or do you work in a bookstore? And what activities do you have planned for this Saturday, Independent Bookstore Day? Please give us a call, 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can drop us an email at feedback@yourcallradio.org or post a web comment on yourcallradio.org. Usually people love to come up with ideas for their summer reading list, and I have a hunch that right about now when the kids are about to get out of school is when people start looking for the local bookstore to become a place where they can take kids in the afternoon when they're out of school for reading and book time and things like that. So, Pete, what are some of the activities that you have at your independent bookstore both this weekend for Indie Bookstore Day and ongoing, say, through the summer?
Yeah, for Bookstore Day specifically, at the main store, we're starting the day with mimosas, free mimosas for the first 50 or 100 customers. We partnered with the Silent Book Club, which is a group who gets together once a month and quietly reads together. So they have kind of an authorless community reading event. We have a kids event in the morning. A local kids book author will be reading, and we have a former employee who's a good artist who's going to teach kids how to draw. We have a poet who does poems on demand. She brings a beautiful old typewriter and sets up, and she asks each person a few questions and then writes a poem right there on some beautiful paper, which is always a huge hit.
And that's Green Apple Books.
Green Apple Books on Clement Street, right? Mm-hmm. We also have a Make Your Own Golden Books. Do you know that? Remember, like, Pokey Little Puppy and those little those books? So we got a kit from Golden Books to so people can make their own. There's also a bike ride that's going to five different stores in the city. So kind of a bike and book ride. So they're going to end up at our store in the afternoon. We have a screen printing activity late afternoon, and we have a literary cocktail hour like Diesel, because one of the books being published for Bookstore Day is a literary cocktail book where writers share their favorite recipes. That's the main store. Our new store on the Inner Sunset is hosting Michael Chabon in the evening. He has a new book out, and one of the exclusives for Bookstore Day is The $6 Story, which is a signed item produced just for Bookstore Day. So he'll be there in the evening. And then all summer long, we don't do a ton of events on Clement Street because it's so packed and cramped. But we do. We can tell immediately when school lets out. We see a lot more kids in the morning. It's really wonderful. You know, I think parents have this quiet half hour to themselves where the kids are safe in the kids section looking for what they're going to read, and the parents engage with us or just like to get lost among the shelves. So we definitely look forward to summer. We also see a lot of tourists. You know, we're not down at Fisherman's Wharf, but there's a lot of bookish tourists that get off the beaten path and come out to the Western neighborhood. So it's fun to see people from all over the country who come and make a pilgrimage.
We're going to go through some of the other events that are happening this weekend. But again, we want to talk books. So what's your favorite book? What's your favorite read? 866-798-8255. Amy, have you noticed people buying more books about politics since the election? What is the trend that you're seeing come through the door at Pegasus Books?
Yes, I think we are. I think we're seeing people really digging deep into the literature of the cause they are most concerned about. One of the books I brought, for example, is a book called Killers of the Flower Moon by David Graham, which is the untold story, really, of the Osage murders and the birth of the FBI. This is a situation that happened in Oklahoma in the 20s, and it was just one of the many sad chapters in the experience of indigenous people, and it's a wonderful book. It's just beautifully told.
He's going to be on your call on Tuesday.
Oh, you're
going
to love it.
Yes. So David Graham, it's a great read.
And you know, I know it's, you know, everybody's about Hamilton, but one, I think it's very interesting that Hamilton became such a huge hit at this time in our history. It's a time for people to actually see how the country was, in fact, formed. The compromises, the bad decisions, the good decisions. That's a terrific read. It's really long, and summer is enough time to get into it.
I love the reading list. Let's find out what recommendations our callers have. Judy in San Francisco, you have some suggestions?
Yes, I do. I don't know if they're suggestions. I'll tell you about what I'm up to. I saw this beautiful movie called Patterson by Jim Jarmusch, and so now it's about a poet in Patterson. The poet's name is Patterson, and he was inspired by William Carlos Williams' long five-volume, I believe, book of poems called Patterson. So I'm going to be checking those out this summer. That's to keep me busy. I just finished a long memoir. Not really a memoir. I shouldn't call it that. It's a novel. But it's secretly an autobiography, a biographical novel by Simone de Beauvoir. I didn't even know she wrote novels. I just knew she wrote, you know, feminist books. But there I saw it when I was browsing in the library, and it's called The Mandarins. And if you like hot gossip about existentialists after World War II, you might like that. It talks about some issues that, you know, are still relevant, you know, about artists having to become political and maybe change their art and, you know, lose some of their creativity behind that and things like that, and ethical issues about what to publish journalistically or not. And then I'd like to give a shout out to my friend who just came out with what she calls a poetic memoir. Her name is Lynn Barnes. We both just retired from the library recently, and the public library. Her book called Falling into Flowers is a series of poems about her life, which are very, very beautiful and interesting. I really recommend the bookstore is getting this book from Blue Light Press and promoting it. She tells about LGBT coming out and celebrating issues, about commune life in San Francisco in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and about growing up in Georgia. There was a lot of repression of the things that she came to learn about in San Francisco, and also about being a nurse, a psychiatric nurse, which is a very heavy job. So that's it.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Judy. You know, Simone de Beauvoir, who knew that all of a sudden there would be sort of a resurgence in interest in something old being new again based on just current events? It's the same with, I imagine, sales with books like Brave New World and 1984 mm-hmm. and The Handmaid's Tale and even Lord of the Flies, you know, that sort of dystopian whole idea. So have you noticed that, Samantha?
Oh, yeah. I mean, bookstores can't keep 1984 stocked, and the publisher has rushed to put out new editions, and a lot of bookstores are doing full-day readings of 1984. I went to one at Bookshop Santa Cruz, and it was amazing. They had a new reader every 20 minutes. I think it took, I don't know, 10 to 12 hours to get through the whole novel. It was really a powerful event, and other bookstores are following suit. But, yeah, I think probably Pete and Amy have seen the day-in and day-out sales of those kind of books.
Yeah, the other one is It Can't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis.
Also made into a play, right?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're seeing a lot of that. We also see people who now at this point, 3 months in, just want to escape also. so it's interesting to see. Some people want to engage deeper and think more, and other people just kind of want to tune out and bury their heads in the sand, and I don't blame them.
Can I recommend a book to Judy? I think she would love At the Existentialist Cafe, which is a book about that same group by Sarah Bakewell, and it's just terrific.
Okay. What kind of escapist books are people seeking out?
One of the ones I brought along is The Circle by Dave Eggers, a local author, founder of A26 Valencia. And this novel is sort of, it has a lot to do with reader privacy, or privacy, not reader privacy. It's sort of set at a tech company. It's a novel, and it's one of those, what if the tech companies kept going and did the next thing and the next thing. It's being made into a movie that's coming out this fall, and we've been selling it well for...
It's coming out tomorrow.
Oh, there's my movie knowledge. But it's really it is sort of escapist because it's fiction clearly, but it also touches on sort of the privacy issues that people are dealing with in tech companies.
Is that the one with Tom Hanks?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be.
I don't know. Just from the trailers, it doesn't look all that escapist. But
I have to say, I found that book terrifying. It's excellent and prescient, but I don't know if it's escapist. I found it really scary.
Yikes.
The other one I just read that's I think fitting is this book called The Stranger in the Woods, and it's nonfiction, and it's about a hermit who lived in the Maine woods by himself for 27 years. He passed one person in all his 27 years there and said one word. He said hi to a hiker. And this guy is clearly escaping. And it has a lot of information on hermits and people who tried to, you know, withdraw from society. But it's also kind of a tale about how they figured out who he was and how he survived this many years and what mentally caused him to go there. So it's a fun. I read it on a plane in 2 or 3 hours, and it was a really fun fun escape.
I read that one too. It's written by a journalist,
right.
And as a journalist, I tend to appreciate that approach to storytelling. And it was really, really fascinating because he developed a relationship with this man, and this man was able to go up to the cabins when people were away in the off season, and he didn't disturb anything. He just scavenged for food and then went back to a really, really remote place, and this journalist actually found him, and it was an extraordinary connection between the two men.
I was really interested in the reaction in the community, because some people felt like I've came to this cabin in the woods to get away, and now I feel violated because this hermit keeps coming in and stealing food and camping supplies and that kind of thing. So some people were really relieved when he was found and thought, throw the book at him. He admitted to over 1,000 felonies. Whereas other people in the community said, oh, come on, this guy just, all he did was, you know, he never took valuables or jewelry or electronics. He just took food and he was just trying to survive. So it's really interesting to see how the same community can see this person in multiple different ways.
And he managed to survive in sub-zero temperatures, in the snow, in this little outcropping. It's really The Stranger in the Woods. That's a good one. And it's a pretty fast read, like you said. And on a long flight, you could probably get all the way through it.
Yep.
That's a good one. And we hope you have some suggestions, too, for the summer reading list. We're going to take a break and come right back. We're talking books.
The This is Your Call on KALW Local Public Radio. If you have a perspective you haven't heard in today's discussion or a question that you feel needs to be answered, please join the conversation by calling 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK, toll free. You can also send an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org or post a comment or question at the show's website, yourcallradio.org, or just tweet us at Your Call Radio. KALW Spring Membership Campaign is happening May 2nd through the 11th. If you'd like to participate by answering phones or in other ways, we would love to have you. More information can be found by calling 415-841-4121 extension 1 or email us kalw@kalw.org.
And we are back. I'm Renee Kemp, sitting in for Rose Aguilar today on Your Call. We're talking books, independent bookstores, and your summer reading list with Pete Mulvihill, Amy Thomas, and Samantha Shea. They have their suggestions. Hopefully you have yours, too. Give us a call, 866-798-8255. And, of course, this Saturday is Independent Bookstore Day. What are your plans for that day? Give us a call and let us know. Let's go to Pat Arinda, Arinda Books, my favorite bookstore. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Renee. I'm glad we're your favorite bookstore. Thanks for highlighting independent bookstores.
Absolutely.
I would love to share some of the things that we're doing for Independent Bookstore Day. This year, we're focusing really on children. It's the first festival of children's books. And from 2 to 3:30, we're going to have five different children's picture book authors coming to do presentations. And our local ice cream store, we're keeping it local. Lord's Ice Cream is going to be giving away ice cream. And our local cupcake store will be there, as well as Genuine Goodness, a local cafe. So we're really keeping it all local and independent. And any children's books that are bought that day, we will donate 20% of the sales price to local schools. So that's sort of our children's book festival. But I have some books that I'm kind of excited about that I'd love to talk to you about, if I can.
Please.
One that has really sparked my interest is Women in the Castle by Jessica Shattuck. And it's a relatively new book, out only a couple of weeks, set at the end of World War II in Germany. And it's the story of three women whose only commonality is that each of them has lost their husband who was fighting in the German resistance. And this particular book is really captivating because it challenges readers to think about, you know, sometimes there are many shades of gray on the path between right and wrong. And it challenges the reader to say, okay, where would I fall in that spectrum? So this is a book that I'm really promoting. And when you come in, I might try to sell it to you. The other ones that I find, you know, I agree with your previous guests. So we've got customers who want to try to understand this election and what was this all about. And certainly a lot of the classics, like you said, 1984 and It Can't Happen Here, have been flying off the shelves. But one that I think is a really interesting book that hasn't gotten quite as much attention as others is a new one called Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right by a Berkeley sociologist. And it's really asking the question as to why do people vote against their own self-interest. And so that's a good book to pick up if you're still trying to figure out what happened last November. Mm. And if you want something a little funnier, although funny in a sad way, Insane Clown President is...
That's Matt Taibbi, right?
Yes, that's mm-hmm. right, yeah. And that is one I will admit to not having read at all, but I sneak peeks of it while I'm at work, and you're like, aha moments just, you know, come flashing at you. And then I also want to kind of put in a plug, if I can, for Into the Water by Paula Hawkins. The book is not out yet, but Paula Hawkins is the author of Girl on the Train, which was a huge summer read last year. And her new book is coming out soon, and she'll actually be speaking in Northern California at the Bentley School in their auditorium. It's her only California appearance, so if anybody is interested in seeing Paula Hawkins, they can get tickets on Eventbrite.
Outstanding. Thank you, yeah. Pat.
And I just want to say something about Women in the Castle, which is that anyone who visits an independent bookstore day on Indie Bookstore Day this Saturday can get a free audio book of that novel from Libro FM, who we have partnered with. They're an audiobook supplier that supports independent bookstores, and that's one of the novels that we're giving away. All you have to do is show up at a participating store that day, and you'll get a free the audiobook for free.
And there's four other books as well, right?
There's 12 other books, I think, but that's one of them, and that's one of the highlighted titles.
Excellent. Well, you know what? Thank you, Pat. And she had to say it. She said there's so many shades of gray, so I'm going there, right? You can't tell me that you guys didn't have sales blow up with the 50 Shades trilogy, right? Were people skulking in like housewives? Did it really increase sales? I'm just curious, because all of a sudden, people who weren't necessarily readers picked up this series of books. What did you notice? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Did you find that people came in asking for it?
Well, we were a little late to the party on that one, I'll be honest with you. But, yeah, we certainly did sell it. Although, I have to say, when a certain kind of bestseller stops, it stops pretty much dead in its tracks. And, but, yeah, certainly we sold it. And I think people weren't ashamed of it in Berkeley.
But
anyway,
it was sort of a flash in the pan.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Steve in San Francisco. You have a recommendation for a bookstore. Hi, Steve.
Oh, hello. Good morning to you all. There's a unique bookstore in Japantown on Buchanan Street between Sutter and Post called Forest Books. It's very quiet, and there are no cars that go in front since the street in front of it is paved, so there's no cars that can come and go. And it's a unique collection run by a monk who's very quiet with wonderful music when you go in the store, very serene, specializing in Asian art, poetry, and literature. And I find this probably one of the quietest bookstores in San Francisco. And the atmosphere is wonderful. And on Saturdays, they actually have a meditation around noon in the bookstore itself.
Excellent. Thank you. Sounds like an interesting sojourn, huh?
Mm-hmm. There is a bookstore for every taste, and one of the other reasons I think bookstores are still here is that concept of third place. You know, there's home, there's work, and everybody needs to be somewhere else at some point. For some people, it's the gym. For some people, it's the bar. For some people, it's the independent bookstore. And some people want the hustle and bustle of a lively one, and some people want the peace and quiet of a quiet one. And there's one for everybody out there.
Understood. For those of you just joining us now, I'm Renee Kemp, sitting in for Rose Aguilar. This is Your Call, and we're podcasting our show. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. You can also listen to past shows and share there and find out what's coming up next. Tomorrow, it's our media roundtable. We'll be doing a look at the first 100 days or so of the Trump presidency and media coverage. And if you have a show idea for us, drop us a line at feedback@yourcallradio.org or give us a call, 866-798-8255. Today we're talking independent bookstores, and what are your summer reading recommendations? We're also talking about looking forward to this weekend's Independent Bookstore Day. That's coming up Saturday, the 29th. What have been some of your favorite reads so far this year? I want to just kind of throw mine out there. If you haven't read Elizabeth Warren's, I got an early copy of that. This Fight is Our Fight. And one of the things I like about her is that she writes just the way she talks. You know, it's not stilted in any way. She talks and really in really plain language, and it's a really interesting read. And one line that kind of popped out was addressing President Obama. She said, "President Obama, the system is rigged." I think it was based on a speech that he made last summer when he said, you know, the system really isn't rigged. So in the book, she actually says, yes, President Obama, the system is rigged, and it's as rigged as we think it is, and probably more rigged than most Americans even realize. So I think that's a good one, just given the times we're in. Also, it's not new, but Underground Railroad by Colton Whitehead. I mean,
so good.
It was just really, really good. And, of course, Handmaid's Tale. Read it years ago and intend to reread that one. So.
Scary.
Yeah.
Scary book.
That book changed my life maybe more than any other novel I've read. I read it when I was 18 in college, and it, wow, it freaked me out, and it really changed my whole perspective on being a woman, and it's an amazing book.
Me too, kind of. And then when the book came out, I mean, the movie came out, remember years ago? Mm-hmm. Can't remember now who was in it, but oh my gosh, Offred and now the movie series that's come out on, I guess, Hulu.
Yeah.
And, you know, just for a little escapism, because I'm so embroiled in the whole political thing, that my sister did an intervention. She said, here, read this book. It's called The Happiness Project, or Why I Spent a Year Trying to Sing in the Morning, Clean My Closets, Fight Right, Read Aristotle, and Generally Have More Fun. It's by Gretchen Rubin. It's a New York Times bestseller, and it really is a fun read. So those are my suggestions.
How's the Aristotle coming, Renee?
I'll let you know. Okay.
Substitute your favorite philosopher here. Writer.
You know, people are so loyal to their local bookstores. Heidi from San Francisco writes that she's been going to Green Apple Books for the last 35 years. So why do people feel so strongly, do you think? Green Apple?
Yeah.
You're up.
It's, you know, like I said, it's the third place. It's sometimes it's a place where people can go. And a lot of people, I think, at Green Apple actually go to lose themselves, to just be away. A lot of customers don't want our help. They don't want to talk books. They just kind of want to find a quiet place or discover things. There's a bookstore that used to be called Serendipity. Are they still around? I love that title. You know, you just can lose yourself in a bookstore, but you can also find yourself. And we've had, I think, 8 or 10 couples in my time at Green Apple who have met each other there and married subsequently.
We had a wedding in our store in Oakland.
Oh, how precious is that?
So, I mean, you know, we've at 50 years, open 12 or 13 hours a day, everything that can happen in the world has happened within Green Apple. Not all of it good. But, you know, people, it's where they go for peace or solace or discovery or questioning or answers. And usually they find a like-minded community.
All right, let's go to Steve in San Francisco. I'm sorry, we talked to Steve, or did we? Hi, Steve, are you there? Do you have a recommendation for us? Maybe. Hi, Steve, are you there? Okay, I think Steve wanted to recommend Forest Books. Let's go to Fred in San Rafael. Hi, Fred.
Hi there.
Hi.
I love independent bookstores. I go to the Corte Madera, you know the one. I can't think of the name.
Book Passage.
Oh yeah, Book Passage.
Yeah, Book Passage. Right. And I sometimes even go to the author events because I, you know, it's like-minded people, and it, you know, they've gone to the trouble of bringing somebody in. It's great fun. My summer reading is around escapist stuff. It's the Italian author Gianrico Carofiglio. Do you know him?
Guys, anybody?
Uh-uh.
Doesn't ring a bell with me either. Tell us about him.
He himself was a lawyer, anti-mafia lawyer and judge, and he got into writing, and he has a sort of a moral, very moral lawyer in southern Italy who has a lot of existential angst. He loves bookstores. He's very human. You can get inside his real personality as he tries to do the right thing, but his own life, you know, is he questions his own life a lot. His name's Guerrieri, the lawyer in the novels. Anyway, he's great fun. Carofiglio, Gianrico Carofiglio, the whole series of them.
All right. Look for it. Thank you.
Good.
Let's go to Elsa, San Francisco. Hi, Elsa.
You?
Go right ahead. Yes, go right ahead.
Hi, I'm Ilse, actually. I have several books to recommend, and first of all, I want to say I adore Green Apple Bookstores.
Thanks, Elsa.
I love how narrow all the aisles are and how squashed together everything is and all the different kinds of books that you have there. And let's not forget the DVD collection as well next door.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I have several books. First of all, I want to recommend Extra Virginity, The Sublime and Scandalous World of Olive Oil by Tom Mueller. Very, very good about the history of olive oil and all its difficulties at the moment. It's a very corrupt culture, and it's a fascinating read to learn all about it and learn what we don't know about olive oil if we don't know it. The other book I want to recommend is Banana by Dan Koeppel. It's about the growth of bananas and their situation at the moment, where they have a couple of diseases that are going around that are wiping out the banana, and the scientists are desperately trying to figure out what to do about it. A third one I want to recommend is Salt, but unfortunately I can't remember the name of the author at the moment.
It's Mark Kurlansky.
Oh, right. Thank you. And then finally, one of my favorite books of this year is a book called Dylan's Visions of Sin by Christopher Ricks. You have to put on your scholar hat for this one because it's very dense. And he's just such an intellectual, Christopher Ricks. And he does a marvelous job of looking at all of Dylan's work, or not all, a lot of Dylan's work, to point out how he's talking about sin in general. What else? Anyway, it's a very thick book. You won't read it in a couple of hours. You probably will want to read a chapter and put it down and think for a while, but it's well worth it to learn about and understand Dylan and why he is a Nobel laureate.
Well, great. Thank you, Ilsa. We appreciate your call and your recommendations. Thanks a lot. And let's go to Lisa in San Francisco. What are your recommendations, Lisa?
Yes. Well, I wanted to mention something that's really important. There's going to be this event. I'm not sure if your readers, listeners are aware who Anabel Hernandez is. She's a very well-renowned journalist in Mexico who has covered the narco traffickers and has actually gotten death threats. There's a book that she is publishing that is coming out. It's called the True Case, the True Night of Iguala, which covers the what happened on the night of the 29th of September, where the 43 students, Mexican students, student teachers, were killed. The event is going to be at Tuesday, May 2nd, 7 p.m. at Intersection for the Arts at 901 Mission Street. Also, they're going to be presenting a documentary, Where the Guns Go. And then the UC Berkeley Spanish and Portuguese Library on Wednesday, May 3rd at 12 p.m. in Duenel, they're going to be presenting this book. And Wednesday, May 3rd at 7 p.m. at Eastside Arts Alliance at 2277 International Boulevard in Oakland. This is called La Verdadera Noche de Iguala. The book is in Spanish, but the presentation will be translated. There will be professional interpretation into English for all the participants. And it's very important because this has to do with the so-called war on drugs, which Americans are spending money on, but which end up into the hands of the narco traffickers, and the guns end up going there instead of where. Anyway, so I just want to let people know that this is a really unique event and a very important one.
Okay, very good. Did you want to weigh in?
Okay, great.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate that suggestion. Kind of heavy, but that's okay. You know, I think that people are probably going to be doing a lot of weaving in heavy stuff with lighter things that kind of give your brain a rest. Let's see what Nancy's recommendations are in Berkeley. Hi, Nancy. You there?
Yes. I expected somebody to come and tell me I was coming on, but
here you are. Go right ahead, please.
I sell my books to Pegasus and Green Apple all the time. They're just wonderful bookstores, and also go to a lot of book readings at Book Passage. Two books that I've read recently that I really think are great. One is the new Maisie Dobbs book, which I never can remember names of books if it's more than one word, but it's just come out in the last month or so, and it's a whole series, and she's just wonderful. Jacqueline Winspear writes them, and she's just a terrific writer and a wonderful person to listen to at book talks. And the other book, which I found absolutely fascinating, was Robert Harris's new book called Conclave, which is about the choosing of a modern pope. Now, I have no idea. I mean, I'm not Catholic. There's no women in the book, no sex, no violence, but it is a page-turner, and his books are really, really wonderful, and this one is just great. And he wrote another book a couple years ago that's also terrific about the Dreyfus case. Yeah, it's called An Officer and a Spy, and you can't go wrong with Robert Harris or Jacqueline Winspear.
Okay, great. Thank you. We appreciate that. All right, let's see. Who haven't we gotten their book list from yet? All right, Samantha.
Well, I just brought one book because I'm not in the bookstore on a day-to-day basis, so I'm not seeing as many as these guys. But I'm really excited about the new book by David Sedaris. It's his diaries from 1977 to 2002. It's the first of what's going to be a two-volume collection. It's called Theft by Finding. And it's just classic David Sedaris. It's little snippets, little observations. He's so funny, but he's also so smart and so empathetic. And I just love his writing. And this is like an especially personal book. So this is a great summer read, I think.
Okay. Looking forward to that. Yep. Go for it.
I brought a couple things that I just really love. One of them is one of our favorite books this year. It's called The Best We Could Do. It's an illustrated memoir by T. Bui, and it's a story of sort of looking back at her family who immigrated from Vietnam and seeing the land that she came from was always sort of shifting sands for her parents and for her grandparents. The illustrations are just wonderful. It's simply told, but it's simple palette, but it's so evocative. It's like you know her parents. It's just wonderful.
The Best We Could Do.
The Best We Could Do.
Okay.
And another book, it's a little bit for younger people, and I just can't tell you enough good things about it. It's called The Girl Who Drank the Moon. It's by Kelly Barnhill. It's sort of a YA of young readers, but I was mesmerized. It's so imaginative. It's a lot of fun. It's very different. A young girl is saved by a witch. I mean, you got to read it.
What age group would you say that would be appropriate for?
I would say that it's any active reader from, 12 on.
Okay.
And actually, I think my granddaughter, Luna, and the child's name is Luna, I think she's going to love it, and she's 8. She's a good reader.
The Girl Who Drank the Moon.
Yes, okay. The Girl Who Drank the Moon. Highly recommend it.
Okay. Any others, Pete?
Sure, two more. One is, I'm not sure, can anyone pronounce this for me?
Ngozi Adichie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Chimamanda. Mm-hmm. It's called Dear Ijeawele, or A Feminist Manifesto in 15 Suggestions. Mm-hmm. And it's letters from her to a friend on raising a girl, raising a daughter in this age and creating the next generation of feminists.
And she's the author of Americana, I thought. Okay, and we should all be feminists. Okay.
Yeah,
I certainly read Americana.
As a parent of a daughter turning 11 on bookstore day, mm-hmm. we've been gobbling this one up at home. Mm-hmm. The other one is, for people still in the mood to resist, is called On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder. And they're short lessons from the 20th century that sort of will be inspirational and practical for those hoping to minimize the damage of the next 3.75 years.
And it's sort of a manual size, like a 3-inch by 4-inch pocket size book.
Yeah, both of these are. They're kind of gifty and right to the point, and I think they make great gifts for Mother's Day.
Can I add one more?
Sure.
Because we haven't had a science fiction book, but the new book by Kim Stanley Robinson is called New York 2140, and he is, not only is he just a wonderful writer, but he's an extraordinary environmentalist, and this is an example, I think, of people wanting to read about things they care about, fiction or nonfiction. They really want to get into what, sort of drives some of these decisions, that policy decisions, and this is New York 2140. I assure you it's not a very happy outlook, but it's a terrific book.
Well, kids are so distracted nowadays by so many things, as we are all, but I'm wondering what you think it's going to take. Is it going to be another phenomenon like the Harry Potter series to kind of drive kids back to the bookstores? Or are you, in fact, seeing kids still coming through the doors?
We are. We are seeing so many kids through the door. And they're reading so many terrific books. I mentioned my granddaughter again. Forgive me, but gosh, she's so great.
Luna.
She just came home and has devoured a biography of Malala. And, we've done tables of suggestions of books for children about the world around them, and they love them. We have children writing blurbs for us. We are, the hope of the future is pretty good from me, from my perspective.
We've seen the same thing. The Harry Potter syndrome, you know, has got a certain generation hooked on books for sure. They're now, a lot of those kids are now our employees and fellow book lovers. But, you know, we see parents, it must be the San Francisco bubble that we're in, mm-hmm. but I don't see kids reading. I don't know any of my kids' friends who read books on iPads or do digital books. They love the smell of print. They come in and they want to, you know, they want to buy a book. So I feel like, again, maybe it is a bubble we live in, but kids are, that's been one of the big growth industries, growing sections for us over the years. We used to have 4 or 5 bookcases. Now we have 20.
Wow.
So it really is. And we hope that, you know, that it's sort of the drug dealer approach, right? First one's free, kid. Like, keep bringing them back. We're giving away for our 50th anniversary this fall. We're going to give a $10 credit to every public school third grader. And the idea is that these get these kids in and hook them on books at that age. There's some studies that show that's kind of the cutoff point to make lifelong readers is right around third grade. So we hope to nurture that next generation. A lot of the activities at Bookstore Days, as you've been hearing, are geared towards kids.
I think we're also seeing parents becoming very concerned about screen time, mm-hmm. screen activity, screen hours. It's a very problematic way to learn, it turns out, and it's not particularly social. So anyway, that I think that's a factor also.
Well, it's funny you should say that because, you know, I was just reading that there are companies that are investing right now based on third grade reading levels now, the literacy rates at the third grade, to determine how many juvenile detention centers to build
wow.
10 years
wow.
hence.
You're scaring me.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Apparently, there's a correlation there. Those who don't read, apparently there's a direct correlation. So parents, take your kids out this Saturday for yeah. Independent Bookstore Day.
And if you can't afford a book, go to the library. They're free.
Go to the library. So, yes.
And I
Samantha.
Just want to mention that one of the things we're doing in the Bay Area is a book lover's quest. There are 50 independent bookstores participating, starting from Napa all the way down to San Jose. If you visit 10 of them in the month of April, and you can visit 10 of them on Bookstore Day and turn in your passport, you will be eligible to win a $1,000 library. It's an incredible collection of books. It's also a really fun way to discover new bookstores. You can download it on your favorite bookstore's website. They should have it. And, set up your own quest for that day.
It's been such a treat. Fellow book lovers, thank you for being here. We've been speaking today with Pete Mulvihill, co-owner of Green Apple Books and independent bookstore selling new and used books on Clement Street, Amy Thomas, owner of Pegasus Books, and Samantha Shea, the program director of Independent Bookstore Day. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you had some fun coming up with some ideas about what to read for the summer. Thanks to the listeners who gave us their suggestions through phone calls and email. Sorry we couldn't get to all of you. Coming up tomorrow, tune in for our regular Friday Media Roundtable. Your call is produced at KALW. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Laura Flynn produced today's show. Stephanie Purcell is the intern, and Phil Hartman is the chief engineer. Thanks again for listening. I'm Renee Kemp, sitting in for Rose Aguilar. This is Your Call.